Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if we can get last week's congregation with this week's congregation, that would be cooking, right? Be awesome. So, it's like a different congregation over the last few weeks. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Am I buzzing? Buzzing? All right. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll pull the gain down or something like that. So, anyway. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, I'm probably like some of you where we grew up in a denominational church, you know, where somebody gets saved and it was like the end of it, you know. Hallelujah, you made it in. You're part of the pack now, you know, and it's so wonderful. And then we always sang songs about how wonderful it's going to be on the other side, you know, and we're all just going to trudge along, busted, broken, disgusted. And then until we make it on the other side, you know, over there, and then, you know, in the garden, and all the songs about heaven, and that's so great and everything. But, you know, we can have, be blessed here on the earth. Amen. While we're here in this time period, we can still be blessed. And I want to talk about the sin of familiarity and how we can cast that thing off of us. Because the sin of familiarity is it's the root of a majority of the problems that we have, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Carol brought some books back there.
Yes.
If anybody wants them. And one of the books in there is The Sin of Familiarity.
Oh, wow,
that's
okay.
Funny you said that.
Cool.
I remember.
All right.
Three books back there, people.
So the sin of familiarity is something that we're going to see in the scriptures that people had with Jesus.
Yeah.
And they also had with one another. And it causes problems in marriages, parenting, and everything else too. And it is something the devil likes to use on us, is a sin of familiarity, right? Mm-hmm. Marketing does it all the time, right? That car of yours, boy, it's just 3 years old, boy. I don't know. You know, you probably should trade that in, that old clunker, you know? Got 30,000 miles on it, you probably should be looking for a new one, right? Everything, say, it's sin familiarity, is what you have is probably not, you know, it's probably not good enough, or it's old hat, or what have you. We have a joke in our house. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a gigantic nerd, all right? And I like Andy Griffith's show, and Adrian gets so burnt out every night. I love the Andy Griffith show. I can watch it, like, just for hours. And hours, because it's just, I don't know, something about it, I love it. It's just so simple, and such, it reminds me of such a simple time, like when I was a kid with my grandpa tossing the fishing pole in a pond or something like that, and just as a kid. And so it's just, but, you know, I don't have a sin of familiarity. I could watch it all the time. I love watching every night, okay? I'm an absolute nerd. But anyway, sin of familiarity, I want to talk about it. It's termed as the act of making holy things often common. Mm-hmm. The act of making holy things common often, okay? Also, making them ordinary, yeah. Usual, mundane, and routine. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
No.
It's something that we need to definitely guard against. We're going to talk about some scriptures. Familiarity is a curse. It causes many problems in our lives. It does. And again, many marriages break because of it. and people have familiarity with God. So it's something that the sin of familiarity, we're going to jump into. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. Matthew 10, 31, we'll start there. And it's something often that is placing things. God says either you're hot or cold, or He doesn't like lukewarm. That is the sin of familiarity, basically. It is you are treating the things common of God, right? When you open up the scripture, like, oh, whatever. When you come to church, maybe it's Saturday night, maybe I got better things to do. So what it does is sin of familiarity, it reduces the things of God to just an act or nothing special, nothing spectacular, or we don't look at things, right? And I like to, when I pick up the scripture, often when I read the scripture, I like to have it as approach as a little kid. I can't tell you how many times I've read through the Bible, but the point is, like, when I read Genesis, I'm thinking, wow, there's just so many cool things in there I didn't see before, right? Or I'll read the gospel. I mean, there are times when I read the gospel, I'm thinking, there's Jesus where, you know, if you ever read in some places where, and you have to read carefully because the verbiage in there talks about Jesus was here and instantaneously was somewhere else. It doesn't talk about a time lapse. There are times in the Bible where Jesus was instantly in another place, but you didn't realize that, right? And there's things like that that it's very fascinating when you get into the Word and you're thinking, this is amazing. And we need to have the Word, and that's where we keep our hearts soft towards not only people, but also to God. And that's a key to receiving from Him and also having things. I remember one time talking about the Lord. I'm like, how come, you know, you don't speak to certain people? And the Lord told me, He's like, well, sometimes what happens is when I tell secrets to people, they blab it. And so what does that mean is they don't keep it sacred. They don't keep it holy. They don't take the word, whether it's rhema or written. What I mean by rhema is a spoken word or the written word. They don't place value on it. And everything, that's what Jesus said. I don't live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What He says is everything that the Father tells me, I place so much value on it that it is the very life source that I have. Right? And so I think that's a lot of problems with our nation and the world is just because we've made the Bible so common, and you know we've mocked God, we've done some of the world has, and they've reduced it. The sin of familiarity. And Matthew chapter 10 verse 31, it says, "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Luke 12:7 says, I'm going to kind of bounce through these scriptures here. You can write them down if you like, or listen to them again. Excuse me, Luke chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, some of us have more than others. Some of them, they're longer than others. But it says, "Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows." God does not have a spirit of familiarity with us. He does not have a, Jesus does not, the Holy Ghost, they do not have sins of familiarity. Why? We are very special. Here we go. Jeremiah 20 and 11. Well, you've probably heard this before. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." Right? Not, oh, common. Oh, that's just so-and-so. That's just so-and-so. But what does it say here? It says, "Thoughts of peace and not evil." Here we go. "To give you an expected end." Who has a different translation than that? Jeremiah. Everybody has 29. Jeremiah 29, 11. I'm reading King James. The last part is very interesting in different translations. Perfect. Go ahead, dude. Let her rip. Let her rip the gnarly,
this is how we talk at home.
Awesome street language message Bible.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is God's word on the subject. Okay, I got to find it. Because you
know. Oh, 29:11, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it, you know how this is.
Oh, yeah, you got to find it in the midst of, in the paragraph.
"I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for."
Oh, isn't that good? Yeah. He does not have a familiar, he doesn't view us as familiar, just like, oh, that's so-and-so, they're going to screw up all the time, or, oh, you know. I mean, think about how many times he probably could have said that about different people, like Jonah. Oh, great. Or David. David's a prime example. His home life is terrible. I mean, we, you know, definitely revere, but how many things did David screw up on? But it said, he's a man after God's own heart. I mean, all of us would have given up on King David, right? I mean, he'd sinned, he committed adultery, he'd murdered people, he'd done things immoral, but God still, right? That doesn't give us a license to do those things. But what I'm saying is God continually, throughout his walk of life, still honored him. Abraham messed up, but guess what? God still saw him as the father of many nations. See, he didn't view him as he and Sarai at the time was Abram and Sarai. He didn't view them as, well, they're just old folks that don't have kids. No, he viewed them not as a sin of familiarity, but he viewed them as what they could become or what they really were. And that's where sometimes we're in the, we view people not after the spirit, but after the flesh. As Romans 5:8 says, "But God commands his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the sin of familiarity is going to see people for what they are, the flesh, and where God sees things. I love how Brother Hagin always said, "I'm going to believe the best in everybody." right? Well, that should be shouting. I mean, we should all just be shouting on that one, right? And it would say, you know, maybe they've changed since we talked last time, right? John 3:16, I'm pretty sure we're all saved aware of this, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Christ is putting his life on the line for us, gave up every kind of hope that any kind of fleshly person would have on the earth, and set it aside for, and we also see there in Hebrews 12, chapter verse 1 and 2, that he set aside the shame, right? Despised the shame for what? The joy that was set before him, which was us. Where the disciples had, now can you imagine the disciples, can you imagine walking with Jesus every day, and it's easier for us to say, but can you imagine walking with Jesus every day, seeing blind eyes open? I mean, we're seeing people that you know, lepers cleansed, completely healed, demon-possessed people set free, all of these amazing, going in, we see Matthew chapter 9, and we also see in Luke and also in Matthew, he went in and completely healed multitudes of people. So we don't know. And the Bible also talks about that all of the journals and all of the writings in the world could not contain all the miracles that he did. Like, we could not, it's impossible for us to write down everything that happened. So Jesus went in and probably, who knows how many people he healed. Now we have 19 accounts in the Gospels of specific people, from like the woman with the issue of blood to, you know, the little girl that was raised from the dead. We have 19 separate accounts that the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, outline, but there's multitudes beyond that are not written, and we don't know. It just says the multitudes, or he healed all that were oppressed of the devil, right? He went in and healed all of them, so that we know there's probably hundreds or thousands of people that he did. And can you imagine taking, now I know a guy, I've known people, right? This is gonna weird all the carnal people in the room, but I've known people that have taken bread and soup, and they've done it, and God has multiplied, and they've been out in South America, and it keeps filling up, and they feed thousands of people by a pot like this. I know people that have done that, or they're breaking bread and just keeps doing that because they're in the middle of nowhere, and they need food, and they need to feed people, and God supernaturally does things. So, you know, 1 Timothy 2, 4, we're in some scriptures, then we'll kind of get into some other dialogue here, but it's 1 Timothy 2, 4 through 6 says, this is talking about God who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's heart is for every single person, even the people you don't like, Republicans, Democrats, it doesn't matter who you are. God wants every person saved. God does not have a familiarity like, oh, that dirty buzzard. Look what he's done. He wants, I mean, he, believe it or not, he wanted Hitler to turn and be saved. He wanted every single person to turn to him and repent of sins. It doesn't matter how bad. Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, I mean, you know, Mao Zedong, all of these people that have done massive things throughout world history, unfortunately, that have led to, you know, people dying, pharaohs and Nebuchadnezzar and every other wicked, you know, leader, God wants every person to be born again and to be saved and to turn. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. So again, the sin of familiarity, say that fast 10 times, right, can come in many forms. Many people often are marginalized. That is one sin of familiarity, is to marginalize people, try to reduce them down. Only insecure people are going to try to push you down to build themselves up, right? Or the grass is always greener on the other side. Romans 1:21 says, because that when we knew God, they glorified him not as God. Here we go. Neither were thankful. Everybody say thankful. This is very key to avoiding the sin of familiarity. Then it goes on, here we go, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm going to tell you what, the people who have sin of familiarity are not thankful. How many people do you know that are not thankful for this? It's just common, right? It's just commonplace. I know in China, in some places, they'll have like a page or two. They'll read it, memorize it, and then they'll all pass it around. Because they don't have Bibles in China. They just have portions. So they take a page and it's precious to them. Right? And then we in America, I was like, okay, if we were stranded on an island and we didn't have this, how much would we know of it? Or how much could we quote without it here? Right? So again, you know, what are we valuing? What things are we thankful for? Mark chapter 6, verse 1. The people around Jesus were familiar with him, treated him as common, and there's obviously a result for that.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get into really where I need to, shock, too much stuff. But Judas was also had the sin of familiarity with Jesus, didn't he? Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6 in the Amplified. We got time, don't we?
Yep.
Talking about the Amplified? All right. This is the ladies' version. The abbreviated. And it says, verse 1, Jesus left there and came to his hometown, which was what? Nazareth. And his disciples followed him. Now he came to his hometown, right? What's hometown denote? It means people that you know, people that are familiar with you. They grew up, right? So Jesus is coming back, played soccer with the kids, right? They all played flag football together, or football or whatever. They all did that activity. They knew Jesus as he was a child. It says, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Here we go. And many who listened to him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, this knowledge and spiritual insight? What is this wisdom, this confident understanding of the scripture that has been given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Here we go. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon? Are his sisters not here with us? And there we go. They were deeply offended by him, and their disapproval blinded them in the fact that he was anointed by God as the Messiah. Let's just decode this for a minute. Here's the whole thing. They knew him. How come God's using you? And I knew you, and I grew up on the road, and he's not using us. Verse 5, and he could do what? Or no, I want to back up verse 4. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor or respect except what? In his hometown, among what? His relatives and in his own household. And he could, wait a minute, he said he would not? No, he could not do miracles, right? He could not do a miracle there at all because of their unbelief. Where did the unbelief come from? The offense and the sin of familiarity. It all stemmed from that. Because they were not thankful for what he had done. They were not thankful for the things that God did through him. Right? So they were offended at Jesus. That led to not receiving. He couldn't do the miracles. I'm pretty sure people probably need healing, right? At that time. People needed things from God and they didn't receive it. He could do mighty work because of their unbelief, except that he, here we go, laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And what? He wondered at their unbelief. Now, everybody knew about Jesus during that time period because he goes in and heals everybody at times, right? There are just times where he's just, I mean, the whole multitude's healed. So you know there's a fame that's going out about him, and Jesus is performing all these miracles. Okay, I'm going to step on some toes here really quick. Not anybody in here. How many denominations will not allow women preachers because they're offended by them? Right? God can't, you know, and this is all the familiarity is, God can't use this type of person. God can't use those people. God would not use this. God would not use this. What happens is we are now, so I'm embarrassed sometimes to be called Christian. I mean, I'm proud to be Christian because I'm proud of Christ. I want to stand up for him. But I'm embarrassed sometimes of the sexist, misogynistic garbage that goes on in church. I'm just going to say it, right? Because God used women in throughout the Bible. And so what we're doing is we're getting a familiarity thing. We're getting a religious thing here. And what happens is then we're missing out on the blessings of people that can help others. See, we're missing out on these blessings, these people, and these, you know, a whole segment of people. And it's for, like, for example, you know, we can have a spirit. I remember our kids have said something when they're young, kids, and they've said things, and I'm like, that's completely God. I mean, it's just like the Holy Ghost speaking right through them. Well, what? I can have the sin of familiarity because they're just kids. If I'd shut up and listen to God on the inside and say, okay, God is speaking to me about this. Or your spouse. I know. What does your spouse know? Ladies, your husbands probably know something. And husbands, your ladies, your wives probably know something too, right? See, we got to get past the sin of familiarity, can't we? In order to do certain things and to see God move and also to keep things together. The sin of familiarity will destroy relationships in your life. They're just going to. It's going to hinder them. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. I remember talking with I was in Colorado and I was talking to Marilyn Hickey one time. She and I were talking, and it's like, what a gift. I mean, you know, it's like we can't, you know, it doesn't matter who's, whether somebody's a man or woman or what race they are or anything else. It's like God's, if there's a gift there, a genuine gift on somebody, you know, because really we're not rejecting them, are really rejecting the person that sent them. So Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, on only your sons, and they shall prophesy, and only your men will see visions." Oh, I'm sorry, that's not what that says. And your manservants. No, I guess it says, I'm sorry. Let's read the Bible. It says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, on your sons, oh, and your daughters." So he does use women. "Shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on your handmaidens," oh, there's the ladies again, "I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall" what? "Prophesy." Guess what? If you're a man or woman, and if you're anointed of God, and you have the Spirit in and the Spirit upon, and prophecy is simply the spoken word of God. It means that you are speaking by unction of the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying is the sin of familiarity is going to hinder you from receiving from people. One of the best teachers I had was at Rhema, my New Testament. Now, don't you think New Testament class is probably pretty important, like for Bible college, right? I mean, you talk about a brain. You know, she was a great teacher and just a great gift. And, you know, had some other teachers there too at Rhema and stuff. And, hey, man, just, it doesn't really matter. It's, God can speak through anybody. Amen, as long as you're faithful. So, again, God is, It's the familiarity thing with people. Oh, women are like this. Oh, all men are like this. And it's all familiarity or stereotypes on both sides, right? So, you know, we can't have the whole, you know, all men are like this or all women are like this. No. I'm going to go through, this is interesting, Psych Central. It's a psychology thing. And I want to show you some of how these scriptures fall into the sin of familiarity. I mean, I'm saying it explains some of the sin of familiarity. Am I boring you tonight, guys? Are we okay? All right. Now, This is talking about divorce in the United States. And again, if you're divorced, don't get condemnation, okay? I'm sharing with you some things. So nobody's beating anybody up here, but I want to share some things with you that, first of all, these are 12 things, and you're going to see the spirit of familiarity in many of these, okay? These are about the 12 that they say are statistically the reasons why. First of all, lack of commitment. Where do you think that stems from? Sin of familiarity, right? 2, constant arguing or conflict. What? You're familiar with the other person, right? Bing. Infidelity. Obviously, that starts from a sin of familiarity, right? Marrying too young. Unrealistic expectations about partner or marriage. Again, familiarity. You don't communicate. You don't listen to in either one. Inequality between partners. Again, you're familiar with the other person. You don't see them on the same level. Inadequate preparation for marriage. Domestic violence. Again, there's other things, obviously, you know, some demonic influences there. But again, it all comes back to what? Sin of familiarity. You are familiar with this person. Financial problems, conflict about domestic work, you know, who's going to do the things around the house. Again, that's sin of familiarity. Lack of family support, again, the same thing, and religious differences. So we're seeing here that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with familiarity. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable with people, okay? I mean, that's, we need that, right? Because why? You need to feel like you're in a safe environment. You can talk to people. You should feel like a safe environment here, right? When you come in, we're going to respect you. You're going to be safe environment, right? Those are common things. Those are just natural psychological needs that people have. That's ingrained in us. So we're not saying that being familiar with someone or meaning, you know, wanting to, when you come home, you feel comfortable with the other person. That's a good thing. But what it means is when you get to the point and you're not thankful for them or respectful, that's where things can turn sour. And so many people, right, and let's just say this right now, and then we're talking about marriage here. We're going to go down some other rabbit holes. But many people are getting married to fulfill their needs or out of fear, right? Right? Often, sometimes, we're looking at things. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Well, let's just bring this up too. You know, the sin of familiarity will not allow the other person the opportunity to change. I'm going to say that again. The sin of familiarity will not give the other person the benefit of the doubt that they can or will change. Because what is sin of familiarity? They're always going to be like that. Never going to change. Never going to change. They're always going to be like that. Now, we should all be a work in progress, right? There are things that I'm looking at myself thinking, okay, I'm here, but I'm trying to get better in this area, and I'm trying to get better in this area, and I'm trying to get better in this area, and I'm trying to make strides and steps here and here. The dangerous part is to say, everything's cool, I'm great. Yeah. That's the danger area, right? It doesn't matter whether you're working, whether your personal life, everywhere, we should be striving to get better at some point. I'm striving to know this better. And I'm striving to be a better husband, I'm striving to be a better father, I'm striving to be a better pastor and everything. Truth, but it takes time, it takes dedication, it takes sacrifice, everything that we do. And it just takes, unfortunately, elbow grease. Luke 10:27 says, and he answered and said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, here we go, and with all your soul, with all your strength, here we go, and with all your mind, and here we go. Now the here we goes aren't in there. Okay, I hope you figure that out. Right? Like, well, I'm not, Pastor, that's not my Bible. They must have digitally changed that. What happened? Luke 10:27, and he answered saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. When we love we're supposed to love ourselves. Let me just say this. Not everybody loves himself. You know, we were just talking earlier before service about some folks that we know that would unfortunately destroy themselves with drugs and things like that. That's not loving yourself, you know, and alcohol or drug abuse. That's not loving yourself. I mean, it feeds your flesh, but you're destroying yourself in the process. But love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself is erasing the sin of familiarity. I know it's hard when people have hurt you to trust people. It's hard. I know it is. When you have people let you down, they've maybe abused you, they've done things in the past, but not everybody's like that. And you know what I see too? It's crushing because we put people, we abuse people because we've been abused. And we're taking out the things that have happened to us on other people. And that's a sin of familiarity. Because what happens is the people we love or close to us, we're unloading our baggage or our fears or our stereotypes on them, and they don't deserve it. And the thing of it is, too, removing the sin of familiarity is not only for the other person, but for you. Right? How many times have you, and I've had this, and it doesn't matter because January is coming around, and it's like, okay, I need to get on the treadmill. Right? Come on. I'm the only one. I mean, I need to drop a few, right? But I'm just saying that we've all deal with the sin of familiarity in our own lives when it comes January time, when we have the, what is it? Yeah. We got a New Year's resolution, baby. And then what happens? The second week of January, you're like eating bonbons, doing this. Like, oh, it's on TV. Have me another Snickers. Is there any chips and dip in there? Yeah, that's great. So we have it with us, right? It's a sin of familiarity because you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm never going to do it. I'm in this trap. Nothing's ever going to change. And you know what? We've got to get out of that rat race, don't we? Well, going back to school. Well, you know what? I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to be able to do it, blah, 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 blah. Well, you're basing all of your information off of the past instead of the future. What can you do? What can we change? Well, I'm just a controlling person. No, you need to change some things, right? Well, I'm just too laid back and I'm not conservative enough. No, we need to change some things. You need to change some things if you see weaknesses in your life. Because you need to love the Lord our God, again, yourself as others. So that means that you need to love yourself and not be familiar with yourself. It's like, I always do this every year. I always second week into it. I give up on my New Year's resolution and, blah, 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 and all this other thing. So we don't want to walk in the sin of familiarity, right? Many people, and we'll just say this, okay? How many people, and see, unfortunately, we have to have a, I don't want to get all psychological and everything, but I'm just saying, we come to a crisis event that causes us to change. And most people won't change. I know I said it. There you go. Adrian and I have talked about it. Unless there's a God intervention or often a crisis in your life. Why do we have to wait for those two events for God to change something in our life, right? You know, I mean, I don't know how many people over the years that I've dealt with that, you know, they go through, maybe a relationship or divorce or maybe even the death of a family member or something, and all of a sudden that triggers something to change behavior. Maybe, okay, now I'm divorced, now I got to get myself together so I can look good, so I can attract somebody else and everything else. Wait a minute, what? We had the sin of familiarity before. And the things that we should have been doing all the time, we're doing now as a result of a crisis or something in our life. So, I was just telling, Adrian and I were sharing this thing. I was, close with the story here in just a minute, but I was listening to this lady was talking about, she was 31 years old. We're just talking about the psychologist I like to, he's a Christian. Or was talking about this woman. She was 31 years old. Her and her husband, they had a little, I think a little boy got divorced. She, you know, was saying that basically, you know, she felt like he was doing all these things around the house and, you know, she was getting bored about things. And anyway, she said, and she admitted, she says, I thought, you know, I still look good at this age. You know, maybe I can do better. And then what happened was she left, filed for divorce. He wanted to work things out. But again, she had that sin of familiarity. Well, what happened was then he got remarried, had a couple children. Long story short, you know, she's beating herself up because she made the wrong decision. And why? Because she gave in to, and this is the sin of familiarity, is the grass is always green on the other side. Everything's so much more wonderful. You know what? You're going to be so happy over here. And that's what we're seeing now, this generation that's coming up, is this is not reality. No. It's just not reality. You know, I like watching relationship things because obviously be pastor talking to people, and then of course you got kids that are growing up and having relationships and stuff, and all these young women that are growing up that I'm seeing that have these unrealistic expectations. And that's part of the sin of familiarity, is having unrealistic expectations about who you are, right? Now, I know that, you know, for myself, growing up, I had the realistic expectation. I didn't look like Brad Pitt, okay? I know that's a shock for everybody, right? But I knew that, right, or George Clooney. I know this is ridiculous, but I'm saying I'm not a Hollywood hunk, okay? Now, these people that you're seeing now, I'm just saying, these people, these young people, all think they're on the level of a 10. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what happens is we have an internal sin of familiarity often that goes the other way, which can be pride. And now we're headed for destruction and heartache. Do you know, and I promise I'm going to stop here in a minute. Do you realize within the next 10 years that 57 to 60% of all adult women will be single?
Mm-hmm. That's the way it's going.
And I'm just telling you right now,
right,
nobody's good enough, and you have all these people that I'm like, honey, you're a 2, but you're telling me you're a 10. I'm watching these people online, right? Because I'm interested in relationships, right? Mm-hmm. You are headed for heartache, mm-hmm. because we're not living in reality anymore.
No.
We're just not living in reality. And the sin of familiarity, that's the whole scapegoat the devil tries to play, is it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. It's not. Where you're at, it's just going to be so wonderful on the other side. Or, you know, you're looking at people that have no skills, no anything else, but they expect this man to produce, you know, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 incomes and sit. I'm like, wait a minute, this is delusional. And we've got a whole generation of delusional people that have no idea that they're coming and they're going to experience heartache. You don't like that, huh? All right. I'm just telling you, because these are conversations that I'm going to have with these people. Because I don't want them to have heartache and heartbreak. Do you realize, I'm just telling you right now, okay? The kids, I'm not, you know, we're not going to talk to them about them in front of people, okay? But I'm just saying some of the friends and the people that they're coming into, they're coming from broken homes. They're getting kicked out of their house. They're starving for someone to pay attention and love them. And it's all because of sin of familiarity. It's all because the parents just don't care and everything else do. And that's okay, because what's going to happen is if we screw up as parents, it's fine, because we're gonna dump our baggage off on our future mother or our future daughter and son-in-laws, and they'll have to deal with it. But we're not going to do that, are we? See, that's the world system. That's the world system. And the whole sin of familiarity is creeping into our families. And I'm not telling you, I'm not talking about this to beat anybody up, but what I am saying is this. The sin of familiarity gives us a false sense of reality. It does. Yeah.
I want to read this scripture. It's just, I just literally turned to this, and you got to hear this in the Message, what you're saying in Matthew 11. In the Message, 11:15, starting, are you listening to me? Really listening. Now look, here it is. How can I account for this generation? The people have been like spoiled children, whining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope, and you were always too tired.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to talk, but you were always too busy. John came fasting, and they called him crazy. I came feasting, and they called me a lush, a friend of riffraff. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in eating.
Yep.
I'm like, that's the sin of familiar.
Right.
They were looking at Jesus and John, and anything that happened was just, we wanted to do this, and you wouldn't let us, and everything was, I just read that. I'm like, that's mm-hmm. exactly what we're talking about.
And you know, there's just some things where, I'll close with this because it sounds like, well, Pastor, you're kind of callous. You're kind of mean. You're kind of this. I'm just telling you what, I can't watch this stuff very long because it's like I get too emotionally involved. I do. It bothers me so much when I'm seeing kids that are in our families in this nation, that families are being destroyed, kids are being thrown out. We're seeing a destruction of the family. And this is where a lot of the starts is a sin of familiarity. And there is such, how can I say this? When you walk with God and the satisfaction of knowing Him and having the Holy Ghost in your life and having the presence of God in your home, it doesn't matter how much money, it doesn't matter who I, you know, could or couldn't have, it does not fill the hole in your heart that only God does. And the reason I'm saying this, and we're going to talk about more, keep going, and some other things, is because guess what? The true joy and peace is found in God, not the next thrill. Not, I was talking with this couple one time, and we were talking to marriage counseling years ago, and she was complaining about this guy she was marrying, and then she was wanting me to get on her side and everything, and then she says, what do you think? I said, well, why are you marrying him? Hello? This should be a joyful time, right? It should be, I want to be with this person and nobody else, and we're going to run with God, and it's going to be great. Well, multiple people do that, right? And then, yep. And then what does she do? She left him. And they are no longer married, and it's heartbreaking, and it's, yeah, because there's kids involved and all these other things that happened, and it's just, you know what, guys? Running with God is so satisfying. Mm-hmm. And I want to say one last thing, too, because I don't want you to just think this is all downer, but I'm saying this, too. We as Christians, and we have marriages, and we have kids, and we have families, it's easy to get fearful about, because, you know, the devil wants to take your mind to say, oh, your kids are going to end up on heroin in California on a beach somewhere. No, my faith is in God's, he's going to make everything right. In my kids, in my marriage, because I trust in Him, right? Now, there's some effort that we got to do too, but part of it is getting rid of the sin of familiarity and seeing people with their true value. And that takes effort.
Yeah.
It's work. Yeah. And the problem is sometimes it's just life isn't just easy peasy lemon squeezy, is it? You run into bumps. It takes two to tango often. So sometimes the other person isn't with you. But guess what? We're going to believe God. And guess what? In that, there's going to be joy in the journey. But if you start giving in to sin of familiarity, it's going to be miserable, right? I've known people throughout the years that, I mean, they get a car, and then they got to trade it off, and then they got to get a different one, and then they got this, and then all of a sudden they're trading this, and nothing's ever good enough. I'm never happy with anything. It's a miserable existence. Miserable existence. The main person we want to be familiar with is Jesus. Because again, like I said earlier, he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, not lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. I mean, wouldn't have you ever gone to Starbucks and said, yeah, I'll take a lukewarm coffee, please? It's either hot or cold, right? If you hand me a hot coffee and it's like, you know, lukewarm, no thank you. Because even when we drink cold, it's got to be extreme. It's got to be cold or it's got to be hot. I'm excited about the series because it's going to help deliver people. And what is a lot of the word? It's about combating your thinking. Because that's where the devil's playground is at, is to attack your thinking in everything that you do. You are what you think. What is... I'm sorry, I lied. Another scripture here. Please forgive me. Do you still love me?
Yeah.
You know what? You have to anyway. I just thought I'd tell you that. If you didn't know. So anyway, I don't do that to Adrian. I don't do things and then say, oh, you got to love me. I won't do that. Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times shall what? Depart from the faith, giving what? Heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Like I've said before, Satanism is not painting a big pentagram on the floor and sacrificing chickens. It's the most demonic thing is denying that Christ came in the flesh in John's epistle. See, we don't have any other thing. This sin of familiarity is extremely demonic and destructive. And that's, again, it's going to come and it's going to combat your marriage. It's going to combat your parenting skills. It's going to combat it's going to try to come against everything in your existence to get you to get off the beaten path and to get off that, what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Again, now the Spirit speaks expressly, then in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we do not have familiarity with you, but as people around us. Tonight, Lord, I choose to see the value in every person here, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I see them by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that they are not going to view themselves as the old man in the name of Jesus anymore, Lord God. But they cast off the spirit of familiarity with themselves, with their spouse, with their children, with their friends, people in this church. Lord God, that we would pick up the mantle. Hallelujah. Pick up your mantle tonight, Lord. Pick that up with the joy of the Lord. We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves and see them in the light of you, Lord Jesus, through your Spirit. And we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.